You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Okay. Well, Father, I thank you for this new podcast series, and I thank you for, wow, the breakthrough that is going to happen in our thinking as a result of this broadcast. And I thank you, Father, that when we have a breakthrough in our thinking, we have a breakthrough in our results. I thank you, Father, that you told us not to be conformed to the image of this world, to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I thank you, Father, that your goal for this podcast is radical mind renewal, is supernatural mind renewal. So I just release that right now in Jesus' name over every person that is listening to this podcast, watching this podcast live. I thank you, Father, for the transfiguration of the sons of God that is going to result as because of this podcast. I thank you, Father, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father, that you recreated us in Christ for good works, for supernatural exploits, for things that defy human reasoning, for things that defy the limitations of the world system and of the seen realm. And so I call out the identity of every single listener today, Father, as a son of God, regardless of gender. I thank you, Father, that they are designed to be sons, sons that are led by the Spirit of God, sons that defy the odds, sons that do things that would be impossible with man, but are possible with God. I thank you, Father, that you are elevating possibility in our life. You are causing us to dream heaven's dreams. You are giving us visions. You are giving us plans and purposes, Father, that glorify the victory of Jesus and all that he's accomplished through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. I thank you, Father, that we are here to live as new creations. We are here to live fearlessly. We are here to live like those who have inherited heaven because we have. And so I bless our time together today, Father. I bless this series. I bless the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you that each of us possess through our union with Jesus, because the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. I thank you for the power of God being released through people's lives as a result of this teaching. And so I just say, speak through my mind. Speak through my mind, and I'll speak what I hear. And I thank you just for massive revelation coming to all of us, Father, as we walk through the principles of limitless living with you over these next several episodes. So I just hand over the reins to you, Holy Spirit. Take us where you want us to go. Speak what you want to speak, and we're going to listen, and we expect some massive breakthrough and transformation as a result of this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. I am back with a new series, and I'm pretty pumped up about the title of this series. I'm pretty pumped up about the revelation that God has been pouring into me that has led up to this series. And I'm pumped up that you are here, that you are listening, that you are watching, and that you are going to grab it as well. So I want to start out today with just a reading from our kind of foundation scripture for the series, okay? It comes out of Mark chapter 9. There's several, you know, scriptures that talk about, you know, all things are possible, right? With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. But I specifically want to chat about the scripture from Mark 9:23. And I'm going to do that in context because Mark 9 starts out with the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. And if you know that story, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up to a high mountain. And in this place, right, with Jesus, Jesus begins to be transfigured, right? So the glory of God, God himself, which became a man in Jesus, began to be revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so prior to them going up the mountain, guess what? People were interacting. They were interacting with Jesus. They were believing Jesus because of the signs and the wonders and the wisdom that, you know, was coming out of his mouth. But they had not seen the glorified Jesus, or the spirit Jesus, if you will, until they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there in this place, the glory of God began to be visible to Peter, John, and James. And I'll just read a little bit of this coming into our foundation scripture, but it says in Mark 9, starting in verse 2, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. I'm reading in the NIV, by the way. It says, and there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. So Jesus is in this encounter. Jesus is in this experience, and Peter, John, and James are witnessing this experience, right? So Jesus is transfigured. He becomes glorified in this moment, and he is speaking to Elijah and Moses, who have long been gone off the planet. And in verse 5, it says, Peter says to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened, right? So there's a lot of people that teach on this scripture about how, you know, that's what we do. We camp out in a move of God, and, you know, we make memorials there, but I'm not going to go into all that. Let's just keep reading. In verse 7, it says, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love, listen to him. So there's an amazing principle here in just listening to Jesus. Like, that's a really, really powerful life principle. If you want to live a limitless life, just listen to him. I mean, God said, listen to Jesus. So that's, you know, that story. I mean, we could keep going with it, but I really want to get to the heart of the matter today. But I wanted to give the kind of context of what was going on. Okay. So when they came down the mountain, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. It foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. In other words, he was having seizures. I asked the disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. In verse 19, Jesus says this. He says, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, how long has he been like this? Asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity upon us and help us. In verse 23, which is our foundation scripture, this is what Jesus says. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him. Never enter him again. In verse 26, the spirit shrieked, convulsed him, and violently came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he said, this kind comes out only by prayer. So in this story, we have the transfiguration of Jesus. Then we have Jesus and James, Peter, and John coming down the mountain into this chaos where the other disciples were there trying to cast out a spirit. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said something really interesting about that. He said, you unbelieving generation. That's what he said to them. He rebuked them. How long do I have to suffer you? How long do I have to stay here? And then he took matters into his own hands. He obviously rebuked that spirit, and it looked like the kid died, but he raised him up by the hand, and the child was healed. So what I want to say today is that for the most part, and I just want you to take this as a tender rebuke for all of us, really, that we, for the most part, are an unbelieving generation. For the most part, we are not living supernaturally. We are not doing the same works as Jesus did. We're not doing greater works than Jesus did. And it's because we believe in limited things. We do not live a limitless existence. We live a limited existence. But Jesus, in my opinion, said one of the most powerful things that he ever said. And he said this, that all things were possible if we can believe. all things are possible if we can believe. And so I want to kick off this series by sharing with you the power of our belief. Okay, I was reading this story on the Emerge coaching call last night. And one of my students was talking about their parents that had just moved to kind of a senior living, very, very healthy, you know, in their 70s, moved to a senior type of living community. And all of a sudden, their health has begun to kind of decline. And so when she was sharing with this, she was going over to their house to pray with them for some things that were going on. And I remembered a study that I had read about in a book by Joe Dispenza called You Are the Placebo. And I just want to start out this series today by reading this story, because it talks about the power of a human being and the power of what we believe. Okay, this is not a Christian book. This is not a Christian study, but it is a really great picture of the power of human beings to live a limitless life. So bear with me, because I'm going to read to you guys this a little bit this morning. It's going to be story time this morning, but I promise you, you're going to be enthralled with this study and you are going to really be challenged to confront the things that you have believed and to confront the programming of the world system as it relates to really everything. This study specifically relates to aging and to sickness, but we are more powerful than you and I can imagine. So let me begin reading, okay? It says, on a crisp September day in 1981, a group of eight men in their 70s and 80s climbed into a few vans, headed 2 hours north of Boston to a monastery in Peterborough, New Hampshire. The men were about to take part in a five-day retreat where they were asked to pretend that they were young again, or at least 22 years younger than they were at the time. The retreat was organized by a team of researchers headed by Harvard psychologist Ellen Langer, PhD, who would take another group of eight elderly men to the same place the following week. Now, the men in the second group, the control group, were asked to actively reminisce about being 22 years younger, but not to pretend that they weren't their current age. When the first group of men arrived at the monastery, they found themselves surrounded by all sorts of environmental cues to help them recreate an earlier age. They flipped through old issues of Life and the Saturday Evening Post. They watched movies and television shows popular in 1959. They listened to recordings of Perry Como and Nat King Cole on the radio. They also talked about current events such as Fidel Castro's rise to power in Cuba and the Russian premier's visit to the United States, and even the feats of baseball star Mickey Mantle and the boxing great Floyd Patterson. All of these elements were cleverly designed to help the men imagine that they were really 22 years younger. After the five-day retreat, the researchers took several measurements and compared them to those they'd taken before the start of the study. The bodies of the men from both groups, listen to this, were physiologically younger, structurally as well as functionally, although those in the first study group who pretended they were younger improved significantly more than the control group who merely reminisced. The researchers discovered improvements, listen to this, you guys, in height, weight, and gait. The men grew taller as their posture straightened and their joints became more flexible and their fingers lengthened as their arthritis diminished. Their eyesight and hearing got better. Their grip strength improved. Their memory sharpened and they scored better on tests of mental cognition, with the first group improving their score by 63% compared to the 44% for the control group. The men literally became younger in those 5 days, right in front of the researchers' eyes. Langer reported, "At the end of the study, I was playing football, touch, but still football with these men, some who had given up their canes. How did this happen? Clearly, the men were able to turn on the circuits in their brains that reminded them of who they had been 22 years ago. And then their body chemistry somehow magically responded. They didn't just feel younger, they physically became younger, as evidenced by measurement after measurement. The change wasn't just in their minds, it was in their body. Now, I just wanted to read that to you to start today, because it is a glaring and incredible example of the power of our beliefs and the power of our thoughts and the power of our environment and the power of quote unquote pretending. Okay. Like, these are incredible truths that back up what Jesus spoke in Mark chapter 9, that all things are possible to them that believe. Now, this study backs up what I want to say right out of the gate here, that when Jesus became the curse on the cross, he was the undoing of Adam, and he was the undoing of the effects, okay, of Adam's choice. And as a result of that, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness, it says in Colossians, into the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God is a limitless place, you guys. We have been redeemed from sickness, redeemed from death, redeemed from poverty, from any effect of the curse, redeemed from decay, redeemed from aging. Like, I really want you to grab this, okay? In the Bible, in the Old Testament, I truly believe that people had to learn to die, because the link between death and the curse is something called human judgment and fear. Okay, let's go over to Hebrews really quickly. And I want to read a very, very powerful scripture. In Hebrews chapter 2, let me pull it up. It says this, verse 14. It says this: since the children, okay, the children of God, have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Okay? Now, I'm going to share here something that I want you to consider. That we are so powerful that what we believe will determine our experience. And when we have been programmed with fear, the fear of death, right? The fear of poverty, the fear of all kinds of things in this world, we actually are the ones that are empowering those things that we fear through our belief about those things that we fear. Okay, if time permitted, I have a bookshelf full of studies that I could read to you about the power of human intention and the power of our beliefs. Right? Now, beliefs are interesting because they are formed over the course of our lifetime through our human experiences. But it's not our human experiences that actually program us. What programs us and causes us to believe something are the judgments that we make about what we experience. See, since the fall, human beings are what I like to call meaning-making machines. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? What did they gain? They gained the ability to judge using their physical senses as the primary inputs to form their judgments on, rather than the mind and the judgments of God. All right, so we took on this independent, well, this illusion of independence, where we began to be led by our five physical senses, and we began to judge according to natural information. Now, fast forward thousands of years, guys, we have thousands of years of human judgments that the world is now running on. Now, granted, people are breaking through these limitations all of the time. I mean, every single time the world record holder for a particular sport breaks through that barrier, it's not because they got some new superhuman power, it's because they changed what is possible by what they believed, right? I read a story one time about a guy, I don't have the book in front of me, who ran this like super ultra marathon and blew everyone away because he had this unique little shuffling running technique and didn't stop to rest. And everyone told him, you can't do that. You can't, you have to take, you know, run this way and rest in certain intervals, that's the only way you can run this race. Well, he just totally did a different technique and blew the record by something that was so ridiculous that it seemed like, wow, like this is impossible. That could never happen. And so all human progress really takes place because someone dares to challenge the limitations that they have been programmed with, that we have been told this is how things work, this is how things happen, right? And all of that stems from this primary key that I want to chat with you about, which is this key of human judgment. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is where we inherited this unrenewed mind. And we have been programmed since we were born with what to believe. We've been programmed how to act. We've been programmed what's acceptable. We've been programmed what to believe. Now, granted, we made those meanings based upon our family of origin, based upon what we grew up, based upon our environment, all of these different things. But we have a lifetime, frankly, of unbelief that we have been programmed with. And what it does is it puts us in a box and limits what is possible. Do you know that it is possible? I'm just going to throw things out here to you. Do you know that it is possible to become a billionaire in a year? Do you know that it is possible to heal from any sickness and any disease? And I'm not just talking about believers. I'm talking about human beings. I'm talking about the capacity of human beings to shape their future and shape their destiny simply because they believe something different than the status quo. So how much more should believers be believing something that sets us apart from people who do not know that they are one with Jesus and that their potential is actually God's potential, right? So today, I just want to kind of hone in on this awareness that we have been programmed with fear. We have been programmed with limitations that are truly not real except in our minds. This study proves that aging is something that we frankly have control over. That growing old is something that we have control over. You know, in Bible days, people were living 700, 800, 1,000 years, right? What was different between those generations and our generation, right? Well, we live in a completely different society. We have been programmed. I mean, my goodness, turn on the television, watch the commercials about pharmaceutical drugs. And you guys, there is an industry, a multi-billion dollar industry that profits on keeping us sick and keeping us believing that we have no authority or no control over our health. All right. Same thing with the financial system. You guys, we are programmed in a system that educates us to be employees, that educates us to get a job, to go to college, to go to an education or get something, you know, get a job and work hard and earn your paycheck and keeps us trapped in a cycle of paycheck living rather than purpose living. Keeps us cycle. There's information that is hidden to us. I mean, people that grow up with a non-poverty mentality have a different experience of life. And people that break out of that have had to believe something different, right? And so I'm just talking about this, yes, from a scriptural perspective, but also really from a scientific perspective. I mean, the studies that are happening in the world in the last 50 years about the power of the mind-body connection, the power of the mind-body-spirit connection, the power of human beings, and whether those are quantum physics studies, whether those are longevity studies, whether those are studies around the placebo effect. I mean, every single drug that's tested has to actually have a go through a test when, and they make allowances for something called the placebo effect, meaning that human belief affects the outcome of the effectiveness of a particular drug or not. And there are people that are not given the drug that have the exact same results as people that did take the drug because they believe in the power of that drug, you guys. And so if we are going to live limitless lives, we need to first recognize that the limitations are internal. The limitations are in our thinking. And we need to wake up to the truth that we have been programmed by a world system. But the good news is that we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into the truth. And the primary truth that the Holy Spirit is leading you into is about who you really are. It's about who you are in Christ. It's about learning how to live free from the constraints of being a mere human being. You guys, anything that a scientific study can do, believers should be able to do more. We should be able to blow the minds of any researcher by the capacity that we have to live above the curse. Now, all of us come into the kingdom. All of us come into knowing Jesus with just a, you know, whole library of beliefs that we have been taught about ourselves, about God, about how the world works, about how money works, about all of these things. But when we read the Gospels, right, we look at the Gospels as proof for what is possible. See, Jesus lived outside of the limitations of a political system, of a religious system. I mean, yes, he was crucified, but trust me, no one took Jesus's life, right? He laid it down, right? He said, I can put my life down and I can raise it up again. I am the resurrection. I am life, right? He stood before the rulers and said, you know, do you not recognize that I could call down legions of angels right this moment? I mean, let's just talk about angels. What do we believe about angels? Do we believe that there are more with us than those than be against us? Do we enlist the help of angels through praying in the spirit and actually being aware that we have more help than we recognize? You guys, there is so much more to kingdom living than just living an ordinary, mediocre life. And it is time for us to confront the limitations that we have been taught about death, about decay, about sickness, about finances, about relationships, about every single topic that we have ever learned anything about, because we have been programmed with limitation. Now, I think it's really interesting that in that study, you know, they had these guys pretend that they were 22 years younger. I cannot tell you the times in my life. I'm just going to use an example of this, where God has called me to do something. This is an example of something that I just couldn't afford, right? In the natural, I didn't have the resources. And time again, the Lord has given me the instruction, you have to act like you have money. You've got to act. You've got to act like a son of God. You have to act like it's impossible to run out. And if you acted like it was impossible to run out, what decisions, what judgments would you make if you believed that? If you believed it was impossible, because that's how Jesus lived. Jesus knew it was impossible to run out. He knew what he would do in every situation where he faced lack. Whether it was curse the fig tree, whether it was multiply the bread, whether it was tell Peter to go fishing and get money out of a fish's mouth. Like, Jesus lived where the lines between the spirit and the natural did not exist. And so that's the first limit that we have to let go of. We have to let go of the idea that what we see is all there is, that the spiritual realm is more powerful, is more dominant than the natural realm. And we need to challenge some of these beliefs, like, how would I live if it was impossible to run out? How would I live if it was impossible to get sick? How would I live? And I mean, we talk about pretending in this study, but it's no different than really the instruction that God gave me. You got to act. You got to act like it's impossible to run out. You've got to act like who you actually are. You've got to act like a son of God, who lives outside of time, who lives outside of the limitations of the material realm. And that's, I think, why Jesus was so frustrated in Mark chapter 9 with his disciples, because, you know, he was just like, oh, you unbelieving generation. He was like, oh, you are programmed with unbelief. And we have been taught, you guys, to fear so many things. And so a part of stepping into fear, to limitless living is stepping into fearless living. And, you know, this month's prophetic word was double down. And double down was all about running towards the things that we fear, running towards and confronting the unbelief, rather than continuing to live with whatever limitation that is illegal in the kingdom of God, right? There are some things that are illegal in our lives, and we have been given the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Let me read you that scripture in the Amplified Classic Version. Let me see if I can remember where it is. I know it's in Matthew. I think it's in Matthew 17. Let me just see if I can find it here. Whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So is it Matthew 17? Let me just see if I can find it. Hold on. It might be the chapter before Matthew 16. Let's look at this. Okay, yeah, Matthew 16. So let's just go about this. Let's read this, okay? In verse 13, Matthew 16, 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, who do people say that the Son of Man is? In other words, who do these people believe that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So isn't that crazy that people believed that Jesus was these people that had died? That's incredible. Like to really think that they had a culture where they believed in the reincarnation of people. I mean, that's interesting. In verse 15, it says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So I'm going to stop here, because a lot of things have been revealed to us by flesh and blood. We take a lot of expert advice, right? But there is a revelation that comes from the Father that is not at all coming from the wisdom of men. It is the wisdom that comes from above. And if I skip down here a little bit, well, now I'll just keep reading. In verse 18, and it says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The realm of the dead, Hades. I know it's translated hell in a lot of versions, but NIV does it right, Hades. In verse 19, and this is in the NIV, it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version, the classic version, and it's so powerful. In verse 18, in the Amplified Version, it says this. I'm sorry, 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare improper and unlawful on earth must be whatever is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. So here's what this is saying. It's saying that there are some things that are lawful in heaven, and there are some things that are unlawful in heaven. Okay. Premature death, unlawful in heaven. Lack, unlawful in heaven. Sickness, unlawful in heaven. Strife, unlawful in heaven. Like, heaven is full of peace, righteousness, and joy. And when I say heaven, I say the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about necessarily the place that you go after you die. I'm talking about the kingdom of God that is here now and functioning all around us as a dimension. Okay? Is it something about the afterlife? For sure. But Jesus isn't talking about the afterlife here. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven right now. And there are things that are lawful and unlawful in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The increase of Jesus's reign and rule, there will be the increase, there'll be no end. And so it says here that whatever you bind, and what is that word bind here? In the Amplified, it says declare to be improper and unlawful. So whatever you declare to be unlawful and improper must be whatever is unlawful and improper in heaven. So we get our words aligned with what is unlawful in heaven. It's unlawful here. And whatever is lawful here, well, guess what? It's what's lawful in heaven. So in effect, you and I are the ones that are enforcing the jurisdiction of heaven, the limitless kingdom of heaven right now. And when we permit, lack, when we permit sickness, when we permit these things to exist in our sphere, it is us that is in agreement and have judged those things as more powerful than us. And so guess what? Those things persist. Those things continue to exist in our lives because we are being either passive about it, or we are not just declaring that that is improper, that that is unlawful, and that it must cease to exist. You know, this is the principle of calling things, you know, that are, right, to not. It's the principle of calling things that be not, call things that be not as they are in heaven. Right? This is the thing where we are calling in the things of heaven and we are dismissing the things that are not in heaven. You guys, we need to renew our minds to the limitlessness of heaven. We need to renew our minds to what is possible for human beings, that it is possible for us to live in divine health. It is possible for us to live free from the world system. That money is designed to be a servant to us. It is not evil. It is a servant. It will serve whatever purposes the human heart possesses. It is a servant, or it will be a god, and we will serve it, right? So there is a rulership and a dominion that we have been given, and it is time for us to wake up to what is actually possible, what and to begin to act like certain things are impossible, like possible and impossible. What is impossible to get sick in the kingdom of heaven? It is impossible to run out of money in the kingdom of heaven. But guess what? In the kingdom of the world, it is possible to get sick. It is possible to run out of money because there's limitation. The world system is built on the human limitation, but it's also built on the ability to install fear and unbelief in us so that we live a limited life that is governed by our physical senses and the beliefs that we have formed over a lifetime by being trained in this world system rather than living in the limitless kingdom of God. And so as we wrap today, I just want you for the next, whatever, 4 weeks or whatever that we're doing this series, I want you to pick an area of your life where you want to live limitlessly, okay? Whether that is your finances, whether that is your health, whether that is, you know, whatever, a relationship, whatever that is. But I want you to begin to step into a supernatural mind renewal process. When I say process, I just mean a revelatory download from God to help you step out of the limiting cycles, the limiting beliefs that have been holding you captive through some kind of fear, okay? When we read that scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, the master fear is the fear of death. But the one that held the power of death has been defeated. So we no longer have to live in bondage of the fear of death, the fear of decay, the fear of the law of sin and death. The law, all of these things that we've been programmed with, we no longer have to live under that. So that thing that you have been afraid of. I mean, and get really honest with yourself, you guys. Like, this is not comfortable. You know, I remember when I moved here to Chicago, when I moved back, I remember that I started to have a series of dreams, right, that dealt with a subconscious fear that I had of a particular thing. And in the dreams, I recognized that both my grandmother and my mother and my adopted family, both of them absolutely had a fear of this thing. And I inherited it, right? Because I'm adopted. So I didn't inherit it in my DNA, but I inherited it through environment. And what God began to do in my life is he first of all said, you need to admit that you're afraid of this. I'm telling you, when I had the dream and I woke up, I was super annoyed because I heard God say, just say it out loud. And, you know, we were taught, oh, death and life are in the power of the tongue, da 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 da. But the truth was, I was already in agreement with that at a subconscious level. So subconsciously, though, that was controlling me, whether I was saying it or not. And, you know, when I was saying it, when he was asking me to say it out loud, he was basically just trying to say, admit this unbelief. Admit that you don't have to say, I'm in agreement that I agree with it. But you need to at least admit that on some level, you fear this thing. On some level, you have a deep-rooted fear of this. And for most of us, not only do we have some deep-seated fears that we don't want to admit because we have judged them wrong, but these deep-seated fears are showing up in our life in patterns over and over and over again. And we obviously need to be open to the Holy Spirit revealing our unbelief. We too need to pray the prayer that that father of that child who was being tormented said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Like if, Jesus said, if it's possible, well, all things are possible if you can believe. There's no if, there's no doubt, but we need to admit, okay, Lord, yeah, I'm doubting. I have some unbelief, but we're admitting it because we're opening ourselves up to a realm of revelation that knocks the fear right out of us. And I can tell you, as I partner with God, He unrolled and unveiled an entirely new world to me about that particular topic. And to this day, I have a completely different paradigm about it based upon what I learned. So much so that I do not participate in the world system's answer to that problem. Hey, and I don't want to go into detail about it necessarily because it doesn't really matter what it is because it's the principle. I don't want you to get caught up on what I was afraid of, right? I want you to get caught up in what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that you are afraid of, right? We need to almost just get curious about what is controlling us, but also not spend all of the time digging about what, you know, why I fear this, how I fear this. Like I didn't go into this like big process with God to understand my fear. No, I just said, okay, this needs to be transformed. So what's the truth? Right? So the truth is what sets us free. The truth that we know, the truth that we personally can assimilate into our lives. That's the truth that sets us free. Now, these guys, they just focused on one thing, pretending they were 22 years younger, right? And so there is an aspect of this that when you recognize what is holding you hostage, right? That you can actually reverse it. Like we can reverse age. Like this is absolutely true, right? Moses was 120. His eyes were not dim and his forces were not abated. Like we have been taught that aging means X, Y, and Z. We have been taught that we're limited by our education. We have been taught that, so many things. I don't have time to list the things that we've been taught. But the point is that we've been taught a bunch of stuff that is improper and is unlawful. And so it is time to not just double down, but it is time to confront the fear, to confront the unbelief and replace it with the truth and begin to act like we are who God says we are. So beloved, I believe that as you just think about the things that I've shared today and you kind of meditate with these on the Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to bubble up for you the very next thing or the very next pattern, the very next stronghold, the very next lie, the very next aspect of unbelief that He's wanting to replace with the truth, and that you are going to focus on that over the next 4 weeks, and there is going to be massive, massive transformation and breakthrough in the next 30 days. I'm recording this on June 18th. I'm not sure exactly when we'll finish the series, but I just want to encourage you to go on this journey with me. I'm believing for really big things right now, personally, in my ministry, in my life. And I want to invite you into believing that things can be transformed so, so quickly. Okay. We're not talking about a 5-year process. These guys reversed aged in 5 days, 64% increase in their cognitive ability in 5 days. Now, granted, they were immersed into that environment that started to that fed their belief that they were younger and it physically manifested. And so I'm telling you, there is a way to immerse ourselves in an environment of faith, in an environment of truth, where we get very, very quick results. Because anything that can be done scientifically, we can do supernaturally even better. So welcome to this new series. I look forward to going on this journey with you. And let's step into it, you guys. Let's begin to confront and transform the limitations in our life. So God bless you. I love you. And we will see you in each one of these episodes. And I just can't wait to see what happens. So God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.